An article in the Washington Post raises tough questions for evangelicals.
This is Timothy Talks Today, brought to you by Timothy Talks Podcast, where we unpack today's news and events with a biblical worldview.
Welcome back to Timothy Talks Today. My name is Daniel Pentamone, and today we're going to be talking about a horrifying story that came out in the Washington Post on May 1st, 2019. Now, I've got to give a little bit of an introduction before I even introduce this topic. I came across this article almost by accident, and when I saw it, at first it didn't sink into me exactly what this article was saying, but as I continued to read, I was literally horrified to the point where there are few articles that I've read ever that were as horrifying as this article. Not because of what the article was promoting, because it wasn't so much promoting, as simply the facts that it was stating and how terrible these facts were. In fact, this was so bad that I almost didn't want to do an episode of Timothy Talks Today on this article. But I realized if I came across this article, it's very likely that other people are coming across this article. Even if you don't come across the article yourself, you're probably one day or other in your life going to face a situation that we can learn from what this article has to say. So with that said, the title of the article was "The Alleged Synagogue Shooter Was a Churchgoer Who Talked Christian Theology, Raising Tough Questions for Evangelical Pastors." Now, what this article in the Washington Post is on specifically is about the synagogue shooting that happened recently. Now, this shooting occurred on April 27th, 2019, and there was one woman was killed, three other individuals were injured as a result of this. But the thing that really makes this horrific, as the title of this article says, is that the synagogue shooter was a churchgoer who talked Christian theology. As if that's not terrible enough, what's even worse is that this churchgoer attended an OPC congregation. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the OPC congregation, it's the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. It's a very conservative and very evangelical denomination. It's a Presbyterian denomination. And in fact, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is one of the small number of denominations today that is really committed to a high view of Scripture, to the proclamation of the gospel. And so in many ways, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is an excellent denomination. So this churchgoer, though he's actually attends an Orthodox Presbyterian church, his father is an elder in this church, and his manifesto that he published included Reformed theology. But the member of this congregation, Escondido Orthodox Presbyterian Church, was in the San Diego suburbs. And his manifesto includes Reformed theology. It also includes white supremacy. And this man, in particular, it appears that he was sort of trying to blend the two, trying to blend his Reformed theology with his white supremacist ideas. Now, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is in no way associated with white supremacy, and he even admits that, or seems to imply that his white supremacy is not something that he picked up in the church. That's completely separate. And yet somehow he was able, in this horrifying way, he was able to combine white supremacy with evangelical orthodoxy. But how in the world could this happen? Wow, this raises so many questions, and if anything, this should almost make you want to vomit when you hear this sort of horrible thing that's gone on. I mean, it's bad enough when you think of someone going in and shooting people in a religious place of worship, walking into a synagogue and shooting people. I mean, there's few things that are worse in this world than people who have gathered for religious worship and being murdered in that house of worship. But what makes this 10 million times worse is that you have someone who claims to faithfully follow the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of Jesus Christ, and who is doing this. Obviously, the very first thing that we can say undoubtedly is that this is not following the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never taught anything like this. Wow, I mean, as you can tell, I almost don't have words to describe how terrible this is. But we need to deal with this. Because, as you can see, here's a person who is claiming to represent Jesus Christ, and even if you were not familiar with this article in the Washington Post, what you will come across in your life, at one time or another, is you will come across people who claim to represent Jesus Christ, and yet what they are doing is so reprehensible and so opposite the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, I have here a couple quotations from the article, and I'm just going to read a few of these because they are really significant, and then just give a few comments on them. But at one place it says, quote, "Several pastors said they found the manifesto's parts about salvation significantly more troubling." And as a side note, I, in this quote that's about to be given, I found it significantly troubling as well. Going back in, quote, "because when it came to what it said about salvation, they agreed with it." And the synagogue shooter says, "I did not choose to be a Christian. The Father chose me. The Son saved me, and the Spirit keeps me," the writer said, espousing a Reformed or Calvinist theology. He also wrote that his salvation was based not on his actions or lack of sin, but on God's will. Now, in answer, or just some first comments on that, the theology that's spelled out there when it says, "I did not choose to be a Christian, the Father chose me, the Son saved me, and the Spirit keeps me," and that salvation is not based on our actions or a lack of sin, but on God's will, in answer to that, that is 100% completely true. If we're talking about a believer, it is absolutely true that the believer does not choose to be a Christian. The Father chooses him, the Son saves him, and the Spirit keeps him, if we're talking about a true believer. Also, the salvation of the Christian is not based on his actions or a lack of sin, but on God's will. Thus far, everything that is said is 100% biblical, and of course that's what makes this manifesto so horrifying, is that this person seems to have such a grasp of the truth. But it's not our own actions, and that's where, in a sense, we have to still be willing to affirm what Scripture says. It's not a lack of sin on our part that gets us to be saved. Indeed, when we come to the last day, what we're going to find is that there are many people who were horrible sinners, and yet they found the grace of God, not because of the good deeds that they did, because they didn't have them, but because of God's unmerited grace. So, thus far, it's completely true that if this person is a believer, if this synagogue shooter is a Christian, the Father does choose him, the Son saves him, and the Spirit keeps him, and his salvation is not based on his actions. All of that is completely true, but there's a fatal flaw in this. And the fatal flaw is, how do we know who the Father chooses, who the Son saves, and who the Spirit keeps? How do we know who that person is? We know who that person is because, as the Scripture teaches, they live a transformed lifestyle. Ephesians 2, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What you see here is not good works. What you see here is horrible works, heinous works, atrocities. Jesus gave us, in the Sermon on the Mount, he gave us the authority to be able to look at fruit and to judge based on fruit. This is not something that we take lightly. This is not something that we do randomly. This is something that we do seriously and cautiously. But Jesus said to examine the fruit that grows on the tree, and you can see who is a false teacher. This doesn't mean, again, that we're going around to every single person examining every single little action and trying to see what their fruit is. No, we're not trying to be hypercritical or judgmental by any means. But we can look at individuals who are claiming to represent Jesus Christ, and we can look at their fruit and we can see, does this person truly represent Jesus Christ? And the way that we're going to know it is by their fruits. If they are living a life of obedience to God, that doesn't mean a perfect life, but that does mean a life that the tenor of that life is obedience to Jesus Christ. And that's where this man, he's writing good theology, but his life shows that it's not true in his life because he's not bearing good fruit. He's bearing evil fruit. Now, another quotation from this post says, "This guy is operating in this very strict Reformed theology," says Fee, who studies evangelicalism, said of Ernest. "In replacement theology, all the promises to Israel in the Old Testament now apply to the church, so there's no particular end times reason to not be anti-Semitic. The Jews are no longer God's chosen people. If you believe in this replacement theology, that's not an incentive to go kill Jews, but it does mean Jews are not as important anymore in God's plan." Here again, we have a very significant difficulty because we're wrestling with what is trying to be a faithful understanding of Scripture and yet a complete perversion of Scripture at the same time. So the church, in other words, that this shooter attended, holds to a form of Reformed theology that says that Israel is no longer the chosen people, or the Jews are no longer the chosen people. Now, as one who studied this issue myself in some detail, or considered it in some of its nuances, I want to say sometimes it's difficult to get our theology from the newspaper, so we can't say exactly what this Orthodox Presbyterian Church holds strictly on this question of Israel. But if the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is holding to a pretty standard Reformed view of Israel and the church, then the view goes like this. Israel was the people of God, the promises are to Abraham, but the people of God has now been broadened in the New Testament to include Gentiles who are grafted to Israel. So no longer can we look at simply those who are ethnic Jews and say that these are the people of God. Rather, the people of God includes them, but it also includes Gentiles who are also turned into part of the spiritual Israel. Now, that may seem a little more extensive, but the point here is that what sometimes derisively termed replacement theology, which I don't know that it's exactly replacement because it's not saying that there is no place for Israel, but it's saying that the traditional role of ethnic Israel has been increased to include Gentiles. The point here, though, let me get to where I'm going with this, is that somehow this is being turned into an apologetic against Jews, as if God has no more purpose for them, as if somehow they are useless in God's plan, or as if somehow they are actually worse than other people because they bear responsibility for Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross. All of this, of course, heinous, horrible, and unbiblical. And yet it's coming out of a twisted understanding of this relationship between Jews and Gentiles in the church. Like I tried to explain, though, the biblical teaching is not that Israel has been set aside or that Israel is no longer significant in the purposes and plan of God. And I tend to think that even the Orthodox Presbyterian Church would be agreeing 100% with what I'm saying. I think that what I'm saying is the same as what they are saying. Rather, the church is included in spiritual Israel. But spiritual Israel also includes Jews, ethnic Jews. Not all ethnic Jews, but many ethnic Jews. Hence, the Jewish people are still an important part of God's plan in this world, undoubtedly. And that's where, as the church and as this article points out, we need to double down in our efforts of saying, as a Christian, you can't look at Jews as if they are worse people. You can't attribute to Jews that they are responsible for the crucifixion of Christ, and therefore they bear this personal responsibility such that acts like we saw in this synagogue shooting are ever acceptable, or in any way anything better than the most horrid depravity. There's a lot more in this article, and we'll get back to it here in just a moment. If you're enjoying the Timothy Talks podcast show today, consider doing us a favor and give us a positive rating on iTunes. This way other people can hear the show too. And if you have a friend or family member who would enjoy this content, please pass it on. You can send them to www.timothytalkspodcast.com, or they can subscribe through their favorite podcast app. And welcome back. Continuing the discussion on the synagogue shooter and this article in the Washington Post on Orthodox Presbyterian Church, I'm going to quote another passage from this article. It says, "It's possible to teach people in the church about personal individual salvation in Jesus Christ and still fail to instruct them regarding the ethical implications of that faith," says this man that's being quoted in the article. Going forward, Kwan called for a vision of the gospel that includes implications for the love of neighbor and those that are different from ourselves, to teach it as an essential feature of the gospel of grace and not just an add-on or an appendage to more important matters. And I think that what's being hit at right there is exactly the point. The man that's being quoted in this article is saying we need to teach more than simply the doctrinal foundations of what happens in this theological system when salvation occurs. We need to teach more than that. We need to show how that theology, that high theology, leads to a practical life. Somehow this seems to have been missed, and I don't know the church, so I don't know what they were preaching specifically. But the long and the short of it is that exactly what's being said here is true. if our theology, if we can talk in detail about how we are saved, like this synagogue shooter does in this article, if we can talk in detail about our Reformed theology or whatever theology, theological system you hold to, and you have studied the Bible and you can describe it and you can hold to it and you can believe it, I mean, that's great, that's wonderful. But that is not the same as living that theology out. That is not the same as having a biblical theology, which biblical theology is more than just being able to describe those intricacies. Biblical theology is also how those intricacies play out in real life. And again, I've mentioned Ephesians 2. I'm going to go back to Ephesians 2 again. Ephesians 2, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. How do you miss that? I mean, this is huge. How do you miss the fact that our salvation is not simply salvation so that we can go to heaven when we die? Yes, that's part of it. That's a wonderful part of it. But that is so small. That is such a limited view of what salvation is about. Salvation is about being made a new creature in Jesus Christ. It's about regeneration. It's about becoming united with Christ in his death, dying to sin, being raised to newness of life, being raised to good works, to living out a life of practical piety in this world. I mean, that is practical Christianity. That is every bit as important. In a sense, I would almost say more important than being able to describe the theological intricacies of our salvation. And yet somehow this has been missed, certainly by this man who is by no means a Christian. This is not how Christians live. This is not how we represent Jesus Christ. This is not what Christ called his followers to. This is not what a follower of Christ does. And yet, probably we could say even more on a general level in many churches today, we've lost this. We cannot lose this. This is so essential to the definition of being a disciple. Being a disciple is not about having propositions memorized. Being a disciple is about living the life that Jesus Christ calls us to, certainly with a theological background to that, a certain understanding of God, yes, to be sure, but that always plays out in a practical, real-life way. A couple further thoughts on this. One is the link between the white supremacy and the evangelical Christianity. Obviously, there is no link. The shooter, like I said, mentioned that he did not learn this at church, and yet it's surprising that somehow these two ideas are being put together because, like I say, if we're going to teach a robust Christianity, there will not be room in a robust biblical Christianity to think the way that white supremacists think. White supremacy is contrary to Scripture. It is the exact opposite of what Jesus Christ taught. It's the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches about humans and about how every single person is made in the image of Jesus Christ. So, terrible, terrible situation. But I think, though, about what this man is trying to do, he said that he would be honoring God by killing these Jews. He also seems to be wanting, through his manifesto, to be promoting white supremacist ideas and also promoting, somehow, in his twisted mind, promoting biblical Christianity. And again, I can't even fully understand that. Here's a man who claims to be a Christian, who claims to be honoring God, and yet he does evil. He does the exact opposite of what he's called to do. And rather than glorifying God, what did he do? He did the exact opposite. He put the name of God in a terrible position. I'm reminded of Romans 2:24, where it says of those who dishonor God by breaking the law, it says of them, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. This man may have claimed that he was going to honor God. And as a result of this, he's made the name of God to be blasphemed so that people think poorly of God, not better of God. This is not biblical. This does not honor Jesus Christ, what's happened. And you think about the members of this man's church. I mean, how do you share the gospel when a man from your own church has done something this bad? Any biblical witness that you had is going to be severely ruined, if not completely destroyed, as a result of knowing this. I mean, what if you had said, I go to this church, and then it comes out that this man came from the same church? You think of what he's done. He has done irreparable damage to the name of Jesus Christ. I mention that as a final thought. Obviously, it's true of him, but in our own lives, as we think about this for ourselves, the actions that we take, the things that we do, can dishonor Christ. Maybe not on the national news that this man did, not on the same level, but the actions that we take can honor or dishonor Jesus Christ. And that is a call for every single Christian to live in a way that we honor Jesus Christ, that we glorify God, and that we don't bring reproach on the name of our Savior, as this man has brought reproach on the God that he claims, falsely claims, to follow. Well, it's a tough subject. It's a deep subject. It is a painful and difficult subject, but it is a subject that as Christians we need to be thinking about. Thank you for thinking about this subject with me. I'm sorry to leave you with such difficult and sad and unfortunate headlines, but that is the world that we live in. It's a sad world, it is a world that is opposed to God, and it's a world filled with religious hypocrisy. Until next time, this is Daniel Pentamone with Timothy Talks.
Thank you for listening to Timothy Talks Today, brought to you by Daniel Pentamone and Matthew Risher. Join us for our regular podcast every Monday.